This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Here's the problem with the Philadelphia 76ers.
Ben Simmons.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
It's over, bro.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Ben Simmons.
He never intends to put on a Sixers uniform again. Is that what he told you, Doc Rivers?
Well, he didn't say it in that word, but we intend to get Ben back.
Today's guests, co-host of Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt, NFL Network analyst Steve Smith Sr., actor Jeffrey Dean Morgan, IndyCar series driver Graham Rahal, and now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Yes, sirree. Week 3 of the NFL begins tonight. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We are 5 wide here today. 5 wide.
Run and shoot.
Yes, we're 5 wide. Calling in about 20 minutes' time is our buddy from Good Morning Football. We have not spoken to him during the regular season yet. Kyle Brandt will be on this program. The Chicago Bears, number one in his program, number one in his heart, is starting QB1, Justin Fields. This week, he's QB1. Is it just this week? Is it moving forward? What's going on?
He also wears number one, so it really works
he
out.
He is. Number one in your program, number one in the Bears' heart.
Number one in the depth chart.
There you go. Justin Fields making his start week number 3, meaning 5 rookie quarterbacks will start in week number 3. 5. Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars hosting the Arizona Cardinals. Zach Wilson and the Jets going to visit the undefeated, one of the only 2-0 teams. That's it. In the entire AFC West, Denver Broncos. Mac Jones and the New England Patriots hosting the New Orleans Saints. Justin Fields and the Chicago Bears visiting the Cleveland Browns. And tonight, making his debut as the starting quarterback in the National Football League because Tyrod Taylor is hurt. And there is no way on planet Earth that anything could actually happen to cause the Houston Texans to tell Deshaun Watson you're starting or put it in his lap and say you're going to leave your teammates in the lurch. Deshaun, we need you. There's no way there's any scenario on this planet that can happen involving humans or extraterrestrials or anything in which Deshaun Watson will be active this season. Davis Mills is getting his start tonight. Yes, number 10 in your program, if you can find him there. I don't know where he is in the heart of Houston Texans fans. They're probably like, what?
Deep.
What? Tonight, Davis Mills gets the start against the Carolina Panthers team that is 2-0. Davis Mills, who's got a resume of the following, 67th overall in this year's draft out of Stanford, and he got a cup of coffee last week, and I'll describe to the radio audience of the headshot we see right here. He's got a very Mike Glennon type neck.
He's from that Merton Hanks
he's got
world
it.
Of long necking.
He's got it. Like, he might be like 6'4", but his I think up to his shoulders, he's like 5'7".
You're probably right.
Stop it. Stop it.
Merton Hanks, Mike Glennon, okay. Davis Mills.
He's 22 from Atlanta, 6'4", went to Stanford.
Here we go. Tonight, taking on a Carolina Panthers team that's saying, yes, we're 2-0 also. You talk about the NFC West all you want, the defending world champs also. We could be the first to 3 wins in 2021. That happens tonight on NFL Network, exclusive coverage of which Steve Smith will join us at the top of hour number 2 to talk about it from Houston. Steve Smith, one of the 122 individuals on planet Earth who were named as possibility of being enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame this very year. That list came out just yesterday.
Let's go.
He's on this show. Also on this program, a particular badass individual in life and also on his television show, The Walking Dead. Man who plays Negan. The Seattle Seahawks are number one in this man's heart.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan back on this show. Can't wait to talk about him. As, you know, the football version of Lucille, Derrick Henry, went right at the 12s.
Wow. Jeez,
wow. Funny. Yeah. And the Titans kept swinging that baby.
That's devastation right there.
Yeah, really. Man. That happened to his team. Graham Rahal's in person.
All right. That's exciting.
Yes. What? IndyCar Series famed Graham Rahal In person, because he's in town. Long Beach Grand Prix going down this weekend.
Love it.
You driving in that, Brockman, again? Normally you do a little...
Rich and I are going to do the tandem this year.
Definitely
oh,
not.
Yeah.
Together.
Maybe it's a bicycle to drive. Graham Rahal will be here. Can't wait to talk to him and ask him the same trivia question I asked Chris Carter last week.
You're happy right now.
Which Big Ten team won the first ever battle of the historic alliance? Which team lost it? And then we'll move on.
Brockman, what's better, Rich working blue or Rich working petty?
Well, he has so few legs to stand on when it comes to Michigan, Ohio State.
It's
so
true.
You know, he's got to take his wins.
And then Michael Smith will join us take us to brother from another right here on Peacock. And in terms of Ohio State, look, Justin Fields is one thing, and we'll bring this up to Graham Rahal. You know, as all Buckeye fans, you know, say he's one of ours, as if Urban and Ryan Day knocked on his door and said, "Come to Ohio State," right out of high school. Let's forget about all that Georgia stuff, right? But no, he's theirs. So if he's theirs, all he's got to do in Chicago, all he's got to do on behalf of the Ohio State, the quarterback position, is be a slightly better than Kent Graham and a little bit more better than Mike Tomczak. And he's the best Ohio State quarterback the NFL's ever seen, because they all can't be Tom Brady, can they? And today, this very day, 20 years ago, on this day, the football gods decided to tell Thomas Edward Brady, despite you being a terrific quarterback in high school, and you get to Michigan, and you get to Michigan, and you don't get all of the opportunities, because a kid named Drew Henson, Mr. Michigan, was also on the squad. And you'll spend 1 year there, Thomas Brady. You'll start, you'll play a quarter, and then Henson will come in, and then you'll come back in, and then Henson will finish up or something else like that. I saw that at Syracuse 1 year. Michigan at Syracuse.
Yeah.
You were in the Carrier Dome that day, too.
I was
there with my future brother-in-law.
Screaming at Drew Henson because I didn't know who Tom Brady was.
Okay. And then Brady sets like Orange Bowl records in his last game as a University of Michigan quarterback. If I'm not mistaken, I think he beat Sexy Rexy. You look up that Orange Bowl? I might be wrong. Might be right. I don't know. I don't know if that really matches up.
The 2000 Orange Bowl?
Look it up, Christopher.
2000 Orange Bowl, let's see.
Michigan, University of Tom Brady. Fantastic game.
You beat Alabama.
Alabama? Okay. Whatever. I only had a good game. 199th overall. We all know that story. We know the story. 20 years ago today, though, that the football gods decided to send Mo Lewis in the direction of Drew Bledsoe. Mm. And out trotted number 12, the Tom Brady number 12 from the New England Patriots sideline. And the rest is history. And on this day, 20 years ago, legend was born, or at least let out of the bottle. And now, 20 years later, Tom Brady is still in the NFL as a 44-year-old defending Super Bowl champion, looking for his eighth. Getting set to hop on a plane to come here to Los Angeles with his tape measure to measure the windows and the flooring and the drapes for this year's Super Bowl that goes on in the stadium where he will be taking on the Los Angeles Rams. A franchise that he then later on, 20 years ago today in that very season, went on and won his first Super Bowl against. In New Orleans, home of the Saints, who are taking on his former team, the Patriots, this week. This is how it's all playing out as it is on and cracking for his former team with a kid that they've given Tom's college number and a kid that they truly believe and hope is going to just run the offense similar to Brady, looks like Brady, talks like Brady, has a combined body like Brady, comes out of college from a program that Brady beat in that Orange Bowl, right?
Yep.
Mac Jones taking on the New England Patriots for the New England Patriots taking on the New Orleans Saints this weekend, and Tom Brady coming out here to take on the Rams, two big games in week three of the 2021 season, and the Rams hosting the Patriots is without a doubt your Sunday marquee contest in the late window, if not all the early and late windows. Obviously, Sunday night football has got a lot of interest with the Packers and the 49ers, but Brady coming to the spot where the Super Bowl took place or is taking place this year to take on a Rams team that wants to do what Brady did last year, which is win a Super Bowl in their home stadium, and everyone's talking about the possibility of doing that, and Brady's gunning for that Rams team. It is great. Mac Jones is trying to win this game for the Patriots to go above 500, 2-1. And yet, that is all not even top of mind in some people in New England right now. You're already seeing it bubbling beneath the surface, getting ready to erupt. We will be in full, deep mode 1 week from today in this front. Brady's return to New England. You're seeing it already?
Oh, it's already out there, man.
You mentioned Thomas Sr. talking about it.
Yeah, Tom Sr. on the radio with Tom Curran, and then the Boston Herald today has some quotes from Alex Guerrero.
His trainer.
His trainer, TB12.
Guy's 44 years old. Chris Collinsworth says he can't tell the difference between 44-year-old, 24-year-old Brady. Got to give it up to the trainer who Belichick once sent across the street.
wouldn't let him on the plane.
Dude, it's all coming out. It's all going to come out.
Oh, yeah.
It's already coming out. And both Belichick and Brady, Belichick will just be because normally you can go towards Bill with the days of your questions, and he'll just go on and on about Zeke Moat. And
he went 9 minutes on
about
the
long snapper. Yeah. Yes, he'll give you a dissertation on long snapping. You know?
Zeke Moat.
He'll go deep dive Zeke Moat.
I mean, you want me to read this quote from Alex Guerrero?
Please. Because I'm telling you, it's coming. I mean, and we will spend parts of today and obviously tomorrow. Rams, Bucks.
Huge
game.
Huge.
Big game.
Huge.
But
Super Bowl
already happening in New England. NBC on Sunday night, I set the over-under on previews and promos for the next Sunday game. I will set it at 5.5 and take the over.
Oh, baby. Ooh. When you say over-under, Rich, I don't really understand what
this
you
I
mean.
This I can talk about.
This I'm confused about.
Yeah, what are we talking about?
Are you saying the more, and like the pie
this can't
thing?
Be a prop bet.
The arrow goes this way?
If this was a Super Bowl, there'd be a prop bet for it. I can't imagine there's a regular season week four prop bet on something like
on a
this.
Promo?
Anyway.
No.
I think degenerates would bet on anything, though, Rich. So
that's true.
It might
I'll take that. I'll get that. What? All right, Alex Guerrero to the Boston Herald Wednesday. I think Bill, his emotions or feelings never evolved with age. As Tom got into his late 30s or early 40s, I think Bill was still trying to treat him like that 20-year-old kid he drafted. And all the players, I think, realized Tom was different. He's older, so he should be treated differently. All the players, none of them would have cared that he was treated differently. I think that was such a Bill thing. He never evolved. You can't treat someone who's in his 40s like they're 20, it doesn't work.
Well, if he's going to allow Brady to take time off from practice or give Brady more say in the offense or talk to Brady, even if he probably never did, about the roster, that's one thing. About saying, yeah, we're going to let you in our building and there'll be a shadow training staff for Tom and the other guys who he's telling, hey, do stuff like me and then a regular training staff for the other 44. I think that's a heavy lift for even Belichick, who I saw at one point say in front of me about treating star players differently,
right,
and learning that from Parcells at the NFL 100 all-time team show, where in front of Lawrence Taylor told the story that I've told here before and I'm going to tell again because it's germane to this. Mm-hmm. He told Bill Parcells when he was the defensive coordinator of the Giants once upon a time, hey, Bill, Lawrence Taylor was late for the meeting today, and Parcells' response was, why'd you start it without him? So Belichick knows star players to get different treatment and should. This one might be a heavy lift on the TB12 system and everything like that. For the Bucs, it's just like, you want to sign on the dotted line? Yeah, we'll figure it out.
You want Gronk back? Cool.
And Arians is just as old school as Belichick. He's got a lot of that old school in him.
They're the same age almost.
Different scenarios. And another thing, too, is I remember Roethlisberger under Cowher was like that game manager, don't screw it up, Ben. And then when Tomlin comes in, it's like, I'm the veteran that just took you to the Super Bowl. Yep. It's different when your coach drafts you. This is just from the outside looking in. As you know, I am all for coaches treating certain players differently and should. And if Belichick in any way, shape, or form chased Brady out, well, that's part of the reason why Brady wants to keep playing, I think. And that's coming next week, bro.
Yeah.
That is coming next week, and you won't hear a boo or a peep out of Bill. I don't think. Although I would love for Bill to just roll his sleeves up and just get in this mosh pit.
And say what, though?
I don't know. I don't know what it is. Ask Seth Wickersham. I mean, his book's coming out. There's got to be something. There's got to be
I know we got to get to Kyle, but what would Bill have to say to make everyone just lose their minds? Like, yeah, I wanted Tom gone. I thought he wasn't playing as high.
And he forced me to trade Garoppolo for a two because he went to Kraft.
So he just spills all family
every
secrets?
Every last bean.
That's for the book, people. You got to wait.
Oh, my gosh. That would
every
be,
last bean.
That would be incredible.
But guess what? Even if that is what it is, which I have no idea what it is, and that's always been the rumor is what it was.
Right.
He was right. Get rid of Garoppolo. Stick with Brady in the same way that the Packers should just say to Jordan Love.
Bye-bye.
Obvious you're still playing at an insanely high level.
Yeah, they won three more.
Why are we turning away from you? Just because in past times, 40-year-olds begin to diminish returns? I guess we should have Alex Guerrero have his own office down here. You know? It would be great. Just give everyone sodium pentothal next week. And I'm telling everybody, I know it's week three, and we're going to hit week three like it's crazy, like it's Lucille's turn as we got Jeffrey Dean Morgan. I mean, we're going to hit that with that barbed wire bat, but I'm telling you it's coming. It's going to be deep next week. I'm front-loading it for you right now because it's already coming out in New England. Oh, baby. Kyle Brandt, let's take a break. We'll talk about all of week number three with him, the Bears starting Justin Fields and more. Steve Smith will be on after him an hour or two. Ryder Cup intrigue already off and running too. Don't go anywhere.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Ryder, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
What does a bye week look like for you, Tom? What are you doing?
I don't know. I don't know what we have planned. I'm going to try to get ahead on anything. That's what I'm going to try to do. Okay. It's not a lot of... It's a little bit of sleeping in, a little rest.
Are you able to sleep in with young kids, though, Tom? Are you able to do that with daylight savings and all that sort of business?
No, not much at all. Yeah. They're up at 6 o'clock today changing diapers, so it's still a early morning for me, but there's nothing like it. There's nothing like winning a game and then coming home and having your kids there and just wrestling with them and waking them up in the morning, so...
Well, I don't know.
I get a little more time to do that this week.
Yeah, you do. But I don't know if you're aware. Obviously Gronk was playing great. You were playing great against Denver. But as you were playing that game, my kids were baking Patriots sugar cookies, Tom. And Cooper and Zan were wearing Brady jerseys throughout the whole year. That might have been some of the wind beneath your wings on Sunday, Tom.
I love it. That's awesome. How did the sugar cookies turn out?
Well, they turned out pretty well. They can travel if you want. I mean, Coop and Zen, would give you the shout out in that regard.
It doesn't get any better now. I have enough sugar in my house. Believe me, we don't need any more imported sugar.
They weren't bouncing off the walls
in every drawer in the house.
They were bouncing off the walls in the fourth quarter. Come to think about it, Tom, that might not have been a very wise choice towards the end of that.
Always to be expected.
Yeah. So, last question for you, Tom. I mean, what would another Super Bowl championship do for you? Just you. Tom Brady, the player who was drafted 199th overall, won three very quickly. What would it do for you here, this stage of your career?
Well, it's a great question. I think when we won earlier in my career, I didn't quite realize how hard it was to win it. We've been there two other times and not closed the deal, and it's a very, very hard thing to do. And I didn't quite realize that at the end of the 2004 season. And I think 10 years later, with a lot of reflection, I realized how hard it is and how much I appreciate what we did accomplish. And then if we were ever to do it again, which I sure hope we are, then how much I would continue to appreciate it, because that's why we play. That's why we... that's why we work hard. That's why we sacrifice. That's why we work hard. That's why we play with pain. That's why you go through the whole conditioning program and training camp is for that one goal. And anything short of that is, based on my experience, it leaves a lot to be desired. And that would be great to be able to finally close one out if we ever get that opportunity.
November 5th, 2014 on the Rich Eisen Show, Brady would later win his fourth. That year, we just showed Tom Brady on our November 5th, 2014 show calling in, and I asked him a question. You'd won three, Tom. What would another Super Bowl mean for you? Not aware at the time that later on in that season, he would culminate it with his fourth in Arizona. That was the Malcolm Butler touched interception on the goal line.
It was.
Season that ended that way. Then he'd win three more. What if I told him, hey, Tom, you're going to win four more on that day? Even he would be like, what?
Hey, Tom, I'm from the future. You're going to win four more, and the fourth one,
I am the Rich
you'll
Eisen
be on the
future.
Bucks.
Unreal.
And you'll play in your home state.
Is that something that might interest you?
Is that something? Can I fit you for one of those? He's just fantastic. I love talking to this man. I love watching him on TV. You can watch him on Good Morning Football every single weekday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern Time on NFL Network. And you can also now stream his work right here on Peacock and Frogger. He is none other than Kyle Brandt back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, sir?
Rich, you just scroll through Instagram hoping to find anything that makes you stop, anything that catches your eye.
Yes.
And today for me, it was the words, the Raiders signed Justin Fargus to a three-year contract this offseason. Are you kidding me? What was that card? Please give context. I love this thing.
Here it is. So Kyle Brandt, as you know, out here on the West Coast, you're holding down the East Coast fort for us in the NFL Media Group on Good Morning Football every day with your colleagues. Out here, we have switched places from our first spot in Culver City, where we turned the lights on in 2003, to a new beautiful spot across the street from SoFi. And I used to have an office at the old Culver City spot because I did Total Access every day. And then when I was off of that daily show, I still had a space, a workspace that I'd go into. About 3-4 years ago, they reached out to me, said, hey, we've run out of space here. Mm-hmm. Do you mind if you just no longer have a space here because you're not here all that much
right.
as you used to be? I'm like, no problem. I just don't know when I'm going to come to clear the stuff out. They said, we're going to clear it out for you. And I have not seen those boxes until 3 days ago because they just moved. So literally, I've been opening stuff up, and one of the things was this card that I had. I don't know why it was saved. I don't know why it was in a box, but it was from a 2008 NFL Total Access where it in the B block of the show, we had Adam Schefter come on, who was the information man at the time at the NFL Network, and some of the nuggets were, you know, hey, Adam, the Raiders just signed Justin Fargus to a 3-year deal this offseason. Then they traded Darren McFadden. But Lamont Jordan's still in Oakland as well. What's going on there was the question.
Well, I'll get to Lamont Jordan, Rich. But first, I have to tell you, free agent running back Kevin Jones has canceled his Saturday workout. It's so good. And, Rich, I'm going to pile onto this. So let me tie this together here. So you're talking Brady coming in, winning Super Bowls, losing Super Bowls. The man who cost him two of those Super Bowls, Eli Manning, I am talking with him later this afternoon.
Uh-huh.
He's coming on to the 10 Questions podcast. He's coming on. And
fabulous.
So the reason I bring this up is that I'm doing all this research on Eli, and I want to talk to him about his draft, the 04 draft, and the Chargers thing, and how weird that was, and the picture with holding up the Chargers. So I'm doing all this research. So I just type in, I want to see the commissioner announcing the pick. So the video that comes up is you in 04 in studio, and you're laying it out, and you're like, and Eli Manning comes out twice and says he does not want to be with the Chargers. They still wouldn't pick Eli anyway, would they? And then here comes the clip, and it's them picking him, and you look incredible, and the set looks so old compared to the one now. But it's all coming up kind of retro right now.
It is. It really is, especially since, you know, Philip Rivers was swapped for him, and Big Ben is the last one standing, and now he's got a pec injury. Steelers this week with a big game at home against Cincinnati. I mean, there's everything is retro is new, and Brady is obviously the retro, the most retro newest thing that's maybe been in the history of sports. Today is the 20th anniversary of Mo Lewis hitting Drew Bledsoe and starting like releasing that Brady from the bottle. I don't know if there's any, we were talking before the show, is there anything in sports like a life-changing sliding door moment that even compares to that? Brady getting knocked
it's
into
tough.
A game, right?
It's, you know, the Trailblazers took Sam Bowie in front of Michael Jordan.
That's one.
We've seen a lot of bad draft picks. That if Mo Lewis just doesn't hit Bledsoe, we change everything. And that's not just sports. Brady is now part of American history. Like there are kids will learn about him, not in PE class, in history class. He's like one of the Kennedys or something. It's that big of a deal. And we haven't even gotten to him going back to Foxborough, which we will do in about 10 days.
Well, I know. And that's the way I led the show, because we're kind of seeing that already. I also opened the door for you, Kyle, you know, and it's okay that you didn't walk through it. It's fine. It was a slightly ajar. You could have said whoever knocked Andy Dalton out of that week two game against Cincinnati. You could have gone in that direction, you know.
God, that was a clever door.
You didn't see it. You didn't see it.
I walked right into it. It's like a sliding glass door, and I walked right into it. Because there is nobody. There's no Mo Lewis. There's a non-contact bone bruise, whatever that means. Here's the deal. There's a feeling right now with the Bears of ready or not, here he comes. I don't know if they're ready, if he's ready, but the Bears fans and the Bears coaching staff gets to play with their toy this weekend, their big, bright, shiny toy. And my takeaway, even before the game even happens, I'm already taking away, is it's a big day for Fields, but it's a huge day for Matt Nagy. Matt Nagy has to show us he knows how to drive the Ferrari. He's never driven a Ferrari as the Chicago Bears head coach. I guess we'll call it a PT Cruiser, is out with that bone bruise. And the Ferrari now, Matt Nagy, let's go. Let's do this. This is a guy, the most interesting thing about him and his home life and his background is he has a basement, Matt Nagy, the head coach of the Bears, or a man cave that is actually physically wallpapered with play sheets that he has had from over his career as a play caller in Kansas City and going back. That's the wallpaper. He posts them all over, and as a reminder of he is a play caller. This is what he does. He's creative. He has all sorts of ingenuity. Let's see it. Because last week, the Bears fans' takeaway was that Justin Fields, every single pass attempt that he had was inside the pocket. And we got a guy running 4-4. So Matt Nagy, for God's sake, empty the bag. Run this guy. Roll him out. Bootleg him. Do everything you can possibly do. Because I think this is the takeaway. If Fields is shaky, Bears fans are going to come after Nagy if the play calling isn't really fun. Let's play with this toy.
The good thing, Kyle, is that the bar's not set very high in terms of Chicago and famous Ferrari cruises related to Chicago, right? Like Cameron set the bar very low in terms of taking out a Ferrari relating to Chicago from Ferris Bueller's Day Off, right? So this is the most important.
You're all over it. And it's not only that. Cameron lived in Lake Forest where the Bears facility is set up. It's practically right down the street when he crashed his father Morris Fry's Ferrari out the back of it. And listen, I think they made a big enough impression just kicking it a few times, and then the effect that it went out the back of it, way, 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 way disastrous. So I would hope that the Fields debut as a Ferrari goes much better than Morris Fry's 1960 Ferrari California.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. The 250 GT California Spider. You know, look, here's the thing, and you and I have chopped this up for weeks and months. Now we're here. I'm just, again, mystified why it's fine for the Jets and the Jaguars to just throw their first round choice out there. Doesn't matter. Take your lumps. Mm-hmm. And then the Patriots surround their guy with a system and just hammer it into his head. And he's perfectly built for it. Now, the offensive line may be the difference maker here. But why is Justin Fields just viewed as, he's got to take his time. We got to take our time with him. He's not ready. Is it entirely possible that he doesn't know the playbook, that he cannot spit out the plays? He cannot put it in his head, from his ears to his brain to his heart to his body? Is that entirely possible? Like, are we going to see somebody so unready this week?
I don't buy it for a second.
Right.
I just don't. Line up any box you want to line up, and I'll put a big fat check mark in it. In the college experience, the level of play, the going up against Chase Young in practice at Ohio State, the height, the speed, the accuracy, the deep ball, everything. I think he should have been taken second quarterback in the draft after Lawrence. I still do. So fine, they didn't. They liked the other guys better. But what is it? Because everyone wants to bring up, well, Rodgers sat and Brady sat. They didn't sit behind Andy Dalton. Rodgers sat behind a legend. Brady sat behind a superstar. That's why they sat. So what is it? It's not as if, okay, Andy Dalton is what he is. I blame him for nothing. It's not as if he's been there for a couple of years and has some equity buildup. He's just as new as Fields is.
Right.
And yet, for some reason, he seems unimpeachable unless we have the bone bruise from the heavens.
It is going to be fascinating to see it all play out.
I can't wait.
Because if he does ball out, it'll be like, well, why the hell didn't he start for the first 2 weeks, but then we can turn the page and he's balled out, right? Unless, you know, you don't think like he balls out, Dalton's knee's better, and then all of a sudden they put him back in the box. That just can't happen. I just think he's out there, and they're just going to have to rip the knob off. That's it. Take your lumps and go. That's it.
It depends what happens. And we were chewing on this morning. So the Bears win. They win 17-13, and Fields is shaky, but they get the win. Dalton get a clean bill of health. Is Nagy saying, all right, I told you Andy Dalton's our starter. When he's healthy, we're going right back in. Or if Fields is really good and they lose. I don't know the limit of the resolve that Matt Nagy has in Andy Dalton, but it has seemed like almost a religious experience, his commitment to him. So I think anything is possible, short of Fields going absolutely ballistic and throwing four touchdowns. But then I'm telling you, we may be having this conversation in a week about, oh my God, they announced Andy Dalton is back in. It would not surprise me.
Well, I mean, look, the guy, again, Matt Nagy came on this show week after the draft, said this is the plan. This is the plan. I saw it work out with Mahomes. I saw it work out. I kind of, you know, gingerly pointed out that Dalton isn't even Alex Smith because he just showed up there, as you pointed out. Alex Smith had years in the system and certainly years built up with a fan base that adored him, you know. So, I can't wait. Like, this is a huge one that on the marquee that might not be as big on other people, but I can't wait to see this whole thing play out. What other games, Kyle Brandt, are you looking forward to seeing?
I'll tell you one. The Kansas City Chiefs have lost 2 out of 3. Now they welcome the prince who was promised in the AFC West, this kid who we were told is going to be the one to fight Mahomes for the next 10 years, and Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert has never played at Arrowhead Stadium with full capacity. He has never played against Patrick Mahomes in Arrowhead Stadium. This will be the first time. And he gets Patrick Mahomes after Mahomes just lost to Lamar, the guy who he never loses to. So this one has big-time stakes, because if Herbert goes in there and is just cool and slings it and wants to go back and forth, like, you're not so bad, you're not so bad, then we might have something. And I don't mean just this year, I mean for a long time. If Mahomes vanquishes him and it says, and we're pissed, we lost to Lamar, we're going to destroy you, then the hype's going to come out of that balloon. But I want something. The AFC and the NFL and the United States, Rich, is thirsting for a bird to Mahomes magic. And we have Lamar. He won a game. Maybe that's a start, but he started 0-3. Herbert winning this game would flip the table. It would mean the Chiefs have lost 3 out of 4 games and there'd be chaos.
Well, we were talking to Chris Long a couple mm-hmm. days ago, and I love him. I don't know if you've had him on your pod. The conversation with the two of you guys would be great to hear. But he said the Chiefs' defense was good for the NFL, because how many times have we just gotten sick and tired of watching the Chiefs just come up with all these crazy plays and watch them score touchdowns? By the way, and his brother's on that team, you know.
Right.
So this is true. Like we here on this show go higher register when we need to believe what we're saying. So the higher register comment of this week is the AFC West wide open? You know, like is it? Because the only undefeated teams in the AFC are in that division, and they were both supposedly the ones who were supposed to be on the bottom of that division. Is the AFC West wide open? Is it possible? Could it be?
Well, are we including the Raiders as possibly witnesses? I'll tell you, the Raiders.
Well done.
All right, so here's where I come out on the Raiders, Rich. Yes. There's something that's very meta about this, and they're believing in the Raiders right now with the whole Las Vegas experience. I feel like I need to see one more win from them. Like, I want to see a third win. But there's also this unwritten rule in Las Vegas of don't go a third night. Like, the two nights are perfect, and they're wonderful, and it's the time of your life, and it's intoxicating. And you say, let's stay one more night. Third night's hell. You cannot wait to get to McCarran. You're dehydrated. You're bored. You're broke. You're everything. The Raiders under Gruden don't have the equity right now. I know they beat two really good teams. Fine. They don't have the equity for us to be like, yeah, they're going to be great. Because we saw them beat the Chiefs last year and they fell on their face. There would be nothing more Raider than beating these two teams than they beat and then losing to the Dolphins, who just lost 35-0 and have a backup quarterback. I don't want it to happen, but I can't say I'd be shocked if it did.
Well, the Monday night opener of that stadium with fans was like a trip to Vegas, where it was wild and there were all sorts of bad decisions that you just lamented the next day, but you still loved every second of it, and the entire crowd around was like a Star Wars cantina, and you felt like you lost your shirt. It literally was an entire Vegas experience in one night. So I love the concept that this is the third night in Vegas.
We'll see
what happens. Right.
And you're sleeping with six guys on the floor at the Circus, and it's all you can afford.
That's
and you're
right.
bored, and you're making bad decisions. That first night was the first night. It's the best night. And I'm like, God, Darren Waller has 50 targets, and did Booger McFarland just eat a shrimp on ESPN? What is this? Vegas.
And Jacoby Brissett this week could be Mr. Chow popping out of the back of the trunk just to surprise everybody.
And his tidy whitey.
Hopefully he's clothed.
And cuffed and blindfolded.
Kyle, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. Eli Manning, when does that one drop on 10
in
Questions?
Two weeks.
Okay.
On Spotify, 10 Questions. I'll record it this afternoon, and we will play the clip from the old NFL Network 2004. I can't wait.
All right, and which one's the latest one that you got out
there? That will be the season premiere.
Okay.
That will be the one.
Terrific. We're back. And check out Frogger on Peacock with Kyle Brandt. Kyle, thanks for the call, brother. You take care.
Man.
You got it. That's Kyle Brandt, everybody. I thought he was going, that's when he's talking about taking his Ferrari for a spin in Chicago, I literally thought he was going to go Ferris Bueller. Mm-hmm. He left the door open for me to walk through on that one.
Yeah.
That's it. Matt Nagy's Cameron.
That's
it. He's got a Ferrari. What's he going to do with it?
Is he going to put it up on blocks and try to roll the wheels backwards? And
or is he going to take it for
the
a
mileage
spin?
Out?
It's going to be great, and they're going to have a parade with Ferris Bueller. Right?
I don't
know. Here we go. He's going to take a stand.
I have no idea what's going to happen.
The Ferrari's going out for a spin. He's right. Like, we better see. Certainly if he tells, here's the one. If Matt Nagy tells the Chicago media when they're amassed in the room, I'm not talking about my starters because it's about scheme. We better see the scheme of all schemes. Because the scheme's got to be different for Justin Fields. And this one comes out of the box and it is bright, shiny object. And they're running plays like it's Mahomes. He thinks this is Mahomes because he sat him and it's in the next Mahomes. I want to see Kansas City type stuff out there. Right? I know there's no Tyreek Hill. I know, you know what, Cole Kmet is not up there with Kelsey. But they do start with the letter K, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're going Sunshine Boys. Words that start with K are much funnier.
Yeah.
But
better do something.
Brother, you
better do something.
This is
man.
It. He's right. He better see, like, he's got to prove that the Ferrari's coming out and we're going to go. We're going. We're running plays from the 1932 Blue Bonnet Bowl that he saw that this, seriously, that Andy Reid was talking about in 2017 mm-hmm. and they haven't used it. He's now going to use it. Big game, man.
Big game.
Big game. Ryder Cup action is going to start in the state of Wisconsin. And the intrigue is already out there. Brooks Koepka, teammates with Bryson DeChambeau. And there's already a lot of chatter. And I've got a prediction.
Oh.
I got a prediction that I don't think you're going to expect. That's all next. Your phone calls, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Steve Smith from the side of the Panthers, Texans, Thursday night kickoff on NFL Network, also still to come.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
You were 29 years old when you were filming Ferris Bueller's Day Off. True or false?
This is true.
You were 29 years old?
Well,
you,
when
you
I was actually...
You looked like you were 19.
When I was 19, I looked like a fetus. So, you know, it kind of all, it just progressed. Yeah. I'm knocking on Geezerhood's
Stop
door
it,
right now.
Alan. It's 29?
Yeah. Yeah.
I would never have guessed that.
Well, Broderick was 25. The only one that was really a teenager was Mia Sara, who I think had just turned 18. Maybe she was 19, but she was actually a teenager. The rest of us were all in our 20s. And when the publicity lady from Paramount found out how old I was, she almost choked on her own spit.
Is that right?
Yeah, because she was like, oh, we'll tell people you're 25. That's okay, because Matthew's 25. That's okay.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, she was scared.
And so, you know, on...
No Tiger Beat magazine for me.
It's all worked out. You know, when I would be doing highlights with my compadres, Steve Mariucci and Deion Sanders on the NFL Network, whenever Adrian Peterson carried the ball, we would go, Peterson, homage to you. Whose voice were you doing when you were talking in Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Okay, Matthew and I had done this play, Biloxi Blues, and we were directed by this wonderful guy who has since passed away named Gene Sachs. He was 65 then, and we drove him crazy because we were always screwing around, we were cutting up, and he gets so mad at us. We were afraid we were going to give him a heart attack because he'd get real red in the face and say, I don't believe his soldiers. I don't believe you're going to go die in Italy, you know? And so Hughes said to me, yeah, I need a voice. Give me a dad voice, an authoritarian voice, right? And so I didn't tell Matthew what I was going to do because Matthew was constantly walking around backstage imitating Gene. So that was me imitating Matthew, imitating Gene. And I just sprung it on him just to see if I get a laugh out of him, you know? And then it worked.
Rooney?
Yeah.
Did you ad-lib the pardon my French? Don't do the whole line here, but did you ad-lib that, the pardon my French?
Well, you know, Hughes, and this is a fun way to work. When you, he was very confident. It's the same way we work on Succession. You do it as scripted once, and then they'll say, we have some other lines. You want to try these? You want to try these? You know, in additional takes. And then usually there's one take where they just say, make it up. Just give us whatever, you know? So yeah, Hughes is, say, pardon my French. Call him an a-hole. You know, I mean,
pardon my French.
Yeah, you know, shouting lines at me, you know. It's a fun way to work.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well done.
Mooney!
Well done out of him, man. Alan Ruck. Succession's coming back, too. Oh, baby. This month, Succession's returned. There are many saints in Newark. Corey Stoll's on tomorrow's show to talk about the Sopranos prequel. 844-204-RICH. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Our colleagues at NBC, they're all fired up. I mean, you got the, well, Al's fired up because all he's got to do is go up to San Francisco or San Jose airport and call a football game. Sunday night football, San Francisco's home opener in Santa Clara, taking on Green Bay. And then this weekend, the state of Wisconsin at Whistling Straits. Looks cold there, man. They're all wearing some winter gear, it
beanies.
Looks like. Beanies and puffy coats. Ryder Cup. Europeans are probably like, this is nothing.
Oh, yeah, they think it's summertime.
Right? all us Florida-based in Southern California, probably, right? Professional players for the U.S. team, they're all bundled up. Here we go. The Ryder Cup. And the Ryder Cup video that was put out on Twitter, sort of like the hype video, I think they need to turn to Brady, man.
His right? team?
I guess.
Like, can team
we,
Brady
can we troll the Europeans, though, for on the Ryder Cup? You know, I mean.
Is it trolling if the people you're trolling don't see it?
It's out there on Twitter. Everybody sees it.
Colin Montgomery does.
You're just showing everybody. They're all friends. They're all chilling out. And Brooks and Bryson. Look like they're happy together. You see that video?
They look happy together.
There they are. They're out there. Hey, man, how are you doing? What's up? Good to see you.
Hey, bud, we good?
We're
How's
good.
That? Yeah. How's that long drive stuff
All right.
going? Your hands
here we go.
Behind my camera.
Here we go.
Right, here we go.
There we go.
There's soft spikes. Bryson. Soft spikes? You're good at soft spikes? Okay, all right.
There they are. Good times, everybody. Good times. Do not stomp around.
Hey, get together. We'll have a few laughs.
Now, what did Koepka say today? What did he say today?
All right, so Koepka, they've been stretching out the media availability for these guys. So they've been kind of doing it a couple guys each day. So today was Brooks Koepka's day, and they were asking him about, let's see if I can find the quote. They were asking him about his relationship with with DeChambeau.
Yes.
And he goes, we're teammates on the Ryder Cup. We had dinner on Monday, and we both arrived here over the weekend.
There you go. Well done. Are we friends?
I think so.
Okay. Well, I mean, we work together. I saw you this morning.
I've been to your house many times.
But we haven't eaten together in a while.
It's been a while since we've had a meal. We've shared a meal.
I'm going to go out and make a prediction here. U.S. is going to win the Ryder Cup.
Okay.
Like Brooks and Bryson are going to still grind a little gears.
Okay.
But they're going to win together. And then we're going to see these two guys together. Like, I just, you know what this gets? It gives me a feel of prize fighters who see each other somewhere and then they fight each other. I'm smelling.
Interesting.
They're going to cash in on this.
You think they're going to do Fallon together?
No.
Celebrity boxing?
No.
Oh, celebrity death match.
What happens every Thanksgiving?
I love that.
The match?
Oh.
They're going to do a match together?
Yeah.
Everybody's been talking about it. Why wouldn't they? Play it up.
So it's.
This what this kind of smells like to me.
So it's DeChambeau and who against Brooks and.
Fill in the blank. Does it matter?
No, not really.
Does it matter?
No.
Phil's got to be part of it. Whatever it is, Phil must be part of it. He has to be some. He can't be somebody's teammate because
course reporter.
He's got to be part. He must
coach or something.
Be part of. I don't care what it is.
But see, what the problem is,
I don't care if he's like the cart guy bringing around the snacks, like he's there. Seriously, like he'll drive up on the third hole. You guys need anything? You want something to drink? Whatever the sponsor, the drink sponsor is, whatever the food sponsor is, Phil's serving it up.
That's a great idea.
And then just hanging out for a hole, and then he'll drive off. Then around six, when you're making the tour, it's like a comfort shack. Who's standing behind the comfort shack?
It's Phil.
It's Phil.
The problem is
Phil's in the comfort shack saying, hey, do you want any more of those dried papaya? Do you want some of that? Here's a scoop of the dried papaya.
Got some CBD gum.
Yes.
So your big-time celebrity athlete golfers, though, are in season. So like Steph Curry, he's done it. NBA's already started. Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning.
They can't do it.
They're in season.
No,
can't
there's
do
no
it.
Way there.
Well,
so
it's isn't it just then straight up? Isn't it just, let's just do it straight up.
So, like the Tiger versus Phil thing?
Yeah. Why not?
Oh, baby.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I don't
now
know.
Now you're talking.
This what I.
Now you're talking. Yeah.
This just.
But is that going to pull the casual fan in? Because, like, I'm not a big golf fan, but these matches, like, when you have these pairings,
that's where they'll play it up.
That makes me watch. But, what, like, right. two. I probably wouldn't tune in
makes
to watch
sense.
That.
I mean, so what are you going to draw in Michael Phelps? You're going to try to get Jordan to do it?
I don't know. All I'm just saying
Jordan
is that
would be the guy.
You're seeing them together here. They're chit-chatting.
But they're just doing it because there's cameras around.
I don't know.
Jordan, LeBron. Can't do it. LeBron's playing.
I don't think LeBron golf.
No, he's playing.
They're chit-chatting, and they're also playing it up at the same time.
No, LeBron's playing anyway.
I just smell something. That's all I'm saying.
Brockman's available.
I think more people would rather see them celebrity boxing.
I don't know. Maybe so you get the Paul brothers. Can they play golf?
Rich, now you're talking.
You know?
Now you're talking.
No, I don't.
Logan Paul.
Don't even
Jake
put that
Paul,
in it.
Oh, yeah.
Just don't even put
Brooks
that in
Brooks name. And Bryson.
There you go.
Now you're somewhere.
Right?
I've bought that show.
Another thing I won't watch.
Now you're somewhere.
Happy Gilmore. Shooter McGavin. Put it all. Or that maybe that's what it would be. Shooter and Happy, Brooks and Bryson. All I know is that we showed Happy Gilmore to the kids, as I told you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm throwing wiffle balls to Coop in the backyard, and he takes like three steps behind home plate. And I'm like, no, get in the box. He goes, just throw it. I'm like, what do you mean? Oh, okay. I throw the pitch. He steps up like Happy Gilmore three steps and just swings the bat. I'm like, was that your Happy Gilmore? So, yep. Shooter.
Proud moment.
That's my boy. My boy. Now suddenly Xander's cursing more, too. I don't understand that.
Wait, really?
No. That comes from summer camp, I think.
Yeah.
You know, being away from us.
Yeah, probably.
You know, just seeing around, being with other kids, I think.
Obviously.
You know,
they had free reign for what, 2 months?
2 months.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They were living their best life.
They go to the greatest summer camp. Okay.
Is it better than Camp Wakanda, though? That's.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, big time. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Steve Smith. Steve Smith, everybody. Can't wait to talk to Steve Smith. He's going to be joining us from Houston, Texas. He is part of the NFL Network coverage of Thursday Night Football tonight between his former Carolina Panthers and the Texans, and he's on the list for the Hall of Fame. That's coming up.
I can't stop thinking about the Paul brothers golfing.
Please, Chris, stop thinking about it.
You don't like the Paul brothers, huh?
I'm not saying I don't know them. So
hey, how did it go in Arthur Ashe last night? I didn't check it out.
It was fantastic.
You watched it?
Of course.
Of course you did.
I watched it.
Did anybody use a tennis racket on top of somebody's head?
No tennis racket was used. We had a great 30-minute classic, Matt Classic, as they say, to start the card with Kenny Omega and Brian Danielson.
Okay.
Cody wrestled Malachi Black. Brandy actually got into the ring.
She did.
She slid in. She flipped the guy off, and she used some language that wouldn't be allowed to be used on Peacock.
Whoa.
But Cody lost, as we kind of thought he would lose that one.
Okay.
It was a great card. 20,000 people in New York. seemed like they had the time of their life.
Was the roof open or roof closed?
I don't know.
I think it was open. Yeah. That's a good question. I didn't really pay attention to that. You know, CM Punk came out, did his thing. He didn't wrestle, but he cut a promo. It was great.
Is he going to start wrestling soon?
Oh, he wrestles.
Oh, he's
back. Back. Yeah.
Okay. Back. There you go. So it was a big night for the U.S. Tennis Center involving wrestling.
Unfortunately, no one got hit with the Aizen yet.
Nobody's hit with the Aizen.
But I think that I'm sure AEW, Tony Khan, somebody, Max Caster, your dad played for the Jets. Rich is a Jets fan.
Okay.
Use the Aizen.
Okay, there we go. Use the Aizen. Yeah. All right, I like it. Is that what you asked me that yesterday?
Which
about have I heard about the New York Jet, former New York Jet?
Oh, that was this morning. Oh, yeah, it was just like, I just realized that I heard the dude's dad had played football, and then I found out it was a Jet.
Have I now gotten to the point and the age?
Yes.
Where something happened this morning and I thought it was yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to say
that. Also,
like,
I thought your sports heroes now have kids who are playing.
Oh, no.
I thought you were definitely at that point.
My Yankees are trying to get past a Blue Jays team, which is...
nothing but juniors.
They're filled with juniors. They're going to come for you like their dads came for us.
Yeah. Big weekend series.
Between us.
Between us.
I know that.
Yeah.
What's with the yellow uniforms?
Yeah. It's the Nike City Edition, but we've won 7 in a row, so we're still wearing them.
Oh, is that what it is?
They're like, keep them.
Isn't that amazing that Chris Sale's now won twice in uniforms, that if it was in Chicago, we'd have taken a pair of scissors right to
him? Yeah, I saw you tweet that the other day.
I got thoughts on Chris Sale.
Now, he's won your last two.
Ooh. Great. Get vaccinated, bro.
Oh, is that what's going on?
Yeah.
Okay.